Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today. Before I start, I wanted to show this little clip. I saw this clip about a month ago, and some of you have probably seen it. But it's an advertising for a movie that's coming out this summer. I'm not really advertising the movie, which I'm going to go see it. But this little clip just did something. I saw it a month ago or so, and it just has stuck in my mind, and it just... Anyway, you watch this and see what the Holy Spirit says to you.
I appreciate you coming this morning. Coffee will be ready in a couple of minutes.
Oh, sounds good. Mm-hmm. Now, I ran a sales report from the area. Wrote down a suggested asking price for the house.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you think?
Mm-hmm. Now, what did you say your husband did for a living?
Well, we actually haven't talked about that, but he's a sales rep for Brightwell Pharmaceuticals.
Mm-hmm. And where did you say you attended church?
Well, we occasionally attend Riverdale Community.
Mm-hmm. So you would say you know the Lord?
Yes, I would say I know the Lord. You think the Lord is okay with this asking price?
Mm-hmm. And you have children?
Miss Clara, my husband Tony and I have been married for 16 years. We have one daughter, her name is Danielle, and she's 10. She enjoys pop music and ice cream and jumping rope.
Oh, well, that's good to know. Mm-hmm. Now, you say you attend church occasionally. Is that because your pastor only preaches occasionally?
Miss Clara, I really would like to help you sell your house. That's why I'm here. As far as my faith is concerned, I believe in God, just like most people. He's very important to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me get our coffee.
So if I asked you what your prayer life was like, would you say that it was hot or cold?
I don't know that I would say it's hot. I mean, we're like most people. We have full schedules. We work. But I would consider myself a spiritual person. I'm not hot, but I'm not cold either. Just, you know, somewhere in the middle.
Here you go. I've got cream or sugar if you need it.
Oh, no, thank you. I like it black. Miss Clara, you like your coffee room temperature?
No, baby, mine's hot.
I guess while you're looking for 2 Peter 3, I guess I could ask you, is your coffee hot? Huh? Is your coffee hot? I decided to warm mine up a little bit. I want to read to you out of 2 Peter chapter 3, and let's read you a few verses here. Starting with verse 9. It says, the Lord's not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but he is long-suffering towards us, or for us, that all should come to repentance. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are therein will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and chastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervor and heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, which is righteousness, in which righteousness dwells. Father, just let me feel your heart today and share from your heart, and we'll give you praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. The part of this scripture that really got me, and I know we use this portion of scripture to really get on each other and talk about, since it's going to happen, and what you ought to be, and convince you of all, remind you of all the things you're not doing, I don't know how many here, just be honest with me, you don't really have a problem feeling unworthy. You don't really have to work it up to feel insignificant, huh? How many here? You really don't have to try hard to feel guilty. I mean, you know, it just seems like that kind of feeling comes natural. But you know what? I believe the Bible teaches us we're to stir each other up, and we're to stir the gift up that's in us, and we're to edify each other. And that's one of the reasons we come to church, is to build each other up and edify each other in the Lord. And so, if you aren't doing something, or you're feeling guilty about something, I'm not really going to try to remind you of that today, because that's between you and the Holy Spirit. But I just want to tell you today that I think you're pretty special. And there's so many good things that you're doing, and so many good things that this church is doing, that I think it'd be good for us just to think about those things. And so when the enemy comes to you and tries to convince you how worthless you are and how no good you are, just go, yeah, you're right. That's why I got Jesus, because he's worth plenty. That's why I got Jesus, because I couldn't be right by myself, but because I got him, now I can be right with God. Oh yeah, I don't amount to much, but Jesus did. And so, I just take all my bad, and I'm just going to trade it for all Jesus' good. And so, devil, stick it in your ear. Huh? That's not real good preacher talk, but I'm not a real good preacher, so how about that? Anyway, I just saw in this scripture, the part that stuck out to me was that God is long-suffering, and that he's not willing that anyone would perish. He doesn't want anybody to miss heaven. He doesn't want anybody to be away from him. I just that tugging, that pulling, he just loves you and loves me so much. And I want us to sense that in his heart today. In John 3:16, it's a real familiar scripture. We all quote it. But the guy comes up to Jesus, and Jesus is trying to explain what the whole mission is about. And he comes up to him, and Jesus says, well, man, says you got to be born again. Said you got to let something happen on the inside of you. Something's got to come back alive on the inside of you. And there's nothing else that can do that except what God's plan is for you. And God's plan for you is that just like he lifted Moses up, or the snake, Moses lifted the snake up in the wilderness, and everybody that looked at that snake were made whole. Everybody that looked on that serpent was made whole. And he said, just like that, your Father, your heavenly Father that loves you so much, is going to raise me up on a pole. And anybody that'll look to me can be made whole. Anybody that'll look to me can have a new, fresh start. Anybody that can look to me, he loves you so much that he's doing this so that nobody, everybody say nobody. Nobody will perish. But we can all have eternal life. And he says, don't mistake what I'm saying. He says, God's not sending me here to condemn you. God's sending me here to save you. Because you see, you're already lost. And you don't have to do anything to be lost. You're already lost. But I came to find you. I came to save you. I came to turn your life around. And I don't know about you, but when I think about that, I just have to go, God, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Just thank you, Father. How many here are glad he was long-suffering when it came to you? Huh. Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, I had an encounter with God when I was 4 or 5 years old, and I knew him, and I knew the direction of my life. By the time I was 10 or 11 years old, I knew I was called to preach, but boy, I sure ran from it for a long time. I sure put God on the back burner for a big part of my life. Thank you, Father, that you were long-suffering. Thank you. See, I just want us to feel his heart for a little bit. He loves you so much. He loved me so much that he said, whatever it takes, I got to have Hank back. Whatever it takes, I got to have Vicky back. Whatever it takes, I got to have Randy back. Whatever it takes, he wanted you back. Those of you watching on TV, whatever it takes, I want you back. Whew, what a heart. What a heart. What a heart for us. What love he feels for us. I don't know about you, but the more I find out about this love, the more I get engulfed in it. You don't have to tell me all my wrong things. You don't have to tell me all the things I'm doing wrong. You don't have to tell me not to do this or not do that. I mean, the closer I'm getting to God, the more I just want to shuck all that stuff. I just want to get rid of it. The more I find out about this love, I just don't want anything between me and my Father. That love he felt for us. Let me just say that I want the heart of God, don't you? And you know, I'm learning and have learned and am learning some secrets that if I want things to go right in my life, I need to find God's heart and I need to go after God's heart. And what I'm learning is that the compassion to see people born again, the compassion, the tugging, the pulling to see people born again and to see lives pulled back together. Anytime I get to flowing in that passion and get to thinking that way, things start going better in my life. Too many times I felt like the young lady in that clip, or I've been like the young lady in that clip, but after watching that and thinking about it, well, I want to be like the older lady. I want to be that. I don't want you to wonder if I'm a Christian. I don't want you to wonder. I want you to know it for sure. I want you to know it without me being obnoxious and without me being overbearing and all that. But you see, the most important thing that'll ever happen in your life is that you come back to the Father, that you come back to him through his Son Jesus. That's the most important thing that'll ever happen to you. And you know, maybe you're watching this on TV and this message is just for you because many of you just need to come back and God's there with his arms wide open and he's saying, come back, come back. I'm here for you, come back. And if you are born again and you already have had that experience with the Lord, then our passion ought to be to see other people have that experience. I don't know. I've learned through the years. How many you want things in your life to work? How many you'd like to see the things in your life, you know, fall in place? And just me and Troy. Oh, we got Steve too. Okay. Now, this is participation. You don't have to do a lot, but you can grunt once in a while or, you know, or amen or something, and I'll go faster. But, I've learned that any time that I can find the heart of God, things go better in my life. Now, I don't know. You know, this church isn't a group of people that have never had any problems. We're not a group of people that we're just tiptoeing through the tulips and everything's going smooth. No, this building's filled up here with folks that have had some hard knocks of life and have faced some challenges and have been through some stuff. I'm just going to be honest, Pam and I have been through some stuff. When I committed to this call, I didn't realize the stuff. But we've been through some stuff, and I like what a brother sent me a text the other day, and he said, this reminded me of you. He said, when you throw a leader to the wolves, they come out leading the pack. And I thought, wow, what a compliment. What a compliment. But you know, that's not just for me, that's for you. You're leader too. And so I've learned that any time the things in my life are difficult, what I always do is I just go back to the heart of God. And I found out that the number one thing on the heart of God is that everybody, that nobody would perish. The number one thing on God's heart is it's not the only thing, but it's the number one thing. And you go through the Bible, all through the Old Testament, that's what it was all about. It was all about getting to a place in time where I can get my people back, where I can get my creation back. And that's what the whole Bible's about. And in the middle of it, Jesus shows up and makes it possible. And what I've learned is that when no matter what's going on in my life, no matter what I'm facing, no matter what I'm going through, if I can get your well-being, if I can get souls on my mind, if I can get that compassion in me and concentrate on that, soul winning solves every problem. It solved everything. You know, if I'll do it, it'll solve every problem. And in your life, it'll solve every problem you've got if you just start sharing Jesus with somebody. Because, you know, I saw in the end of Mark where it says, they went and Jesus went with them and he did signs and wonders confirming the word. You need some signs and wonders in your life? You need some miracles in your life? Tell you what you do. Why don't you just set all that stuff aside and why don't you concentrate on being a good witness for Jesus Christ and sharing what you know to share and doing what you see to do, and stuff will start changing in your life. The miracles take care of themselves. The signs take care of themselves. Nobody had to perform any wonders. Jesus took care of the signs and wonders. He still takes care of the signs and wonders. He still will dissolve the tumor. He still will take the cancer away. He still will do it. That ends his end. My end's just to tell you about Jesus. And as complicated as life gets sometimes and all the things we have going, and I don't know about you, but sometimes I don't know which ends up, but the basic fundamental truth is we just need to tell people about Jesus. He said, what manner of person ought you to be? If all this stuff's really going to happen, if it's really true, what manner of person ought you to be? And I just got to wondering, I just got to thinking. The families that I've mentioned have been heavy on my heart for the last week. And I just got to thinking, if we just really knew, we tell everybody about heaven, but if we really could just get a glimpse of it, if we really could just get a glimpse of what happens after this life, if we could just get a little peek of it, I'm telling you, most of the stuff in our life wouldn't even make any difference. I don't want to go there, but I just need to use this example. My buddy Dan, Joyce, my friend Dan, and Dan and I in the last 6 months have had a lot of conversations, and a lot of conversations about going. And I mean, he knew he was going to go. We believe in for a miracle. Well, I'm going to tell you what. Last week he got a miracle, because he will never hurt again. He'll never need a kidney again. He won't ever have a problem again. And he's up there now looking down at us and saying, man, if you could just get a glimpse of this, you wouldn't cry. You wouldn't do anything but concentrate on this place. And that's what Peter's saying here, looking forward and hastening towards the coming of our Lord, the time when we're going to be with him. I don't know, maybe we need to converse this more often like Dan and I did. What a buddy, man. I'd call him to cheer him up and he'd cheer me up. I'd call him to pick him up and he was already up. He'd pick me up. When the doctor hugged him and cried, I guess, he just looked at her and said, it's okay. It's okay. Matter of fact, we talked the other day, Joyce, and he promised me as soon as he got there, he'd look Bryn up and give him a hug for me. That's how real it is. It's more real than this place. And I don't know. I'm going to tell folks about him. If we could just get a glimpse. And let me just say something. But let me say this. You know, we get the idea. We get the idea that you have to be big to accomplish something. You know, we get the idea that you have to be big and important to really get something done. And you know, if we're not careful, we get the idea that you have to be a big church to get something done. You know, that's not what the Bible teaches. Hey, I think you ought to try to be as big as you can be for God. I think you ought to try to be as much as you can be for Him. And I think we ought to try every day and we ought to just believe God and we ought to be filling this building up and it just ought to be overflowing. I had a dream the other night and I know it was from the Lord and people were they were standing outside. They couldn't get in because there wasn't room. Well, that's okay. It just takes two or three of us to agree. And I think that, but see, we get the idea, man, that you have to be big, you have to be talented, you have to be important, you have to be something to do something for God, and that's just not true. Matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians 1:27, he says that God chooses the weak things to confound the wise. He chooses the foolish things to confound the wise. He chooses the little things. He chooses the little things that seem insignificant to us to do great and mighty things through. Now, I don't know about you, but that kind of makes me feel good. I can kind of strut now, man. I can kind of strut because I can identify with that little stuff, can't you? I just have trouble like being one of the big guys. But I know how to be a little guy. The little things. I'm convinced it's not going to be the most important people and the most important things that are celebrated the most in eternity in heaven. I believe it's going to be the little things. I believe it's going to be the little things and any of us that are able to accomplish some big things, when it comes time for it, God's going to say, Hank or Ron or whoever, step over to the side, and here's going to come the little old lady up that's been praying and been seeking God. I met some missionaries down in Florida a couple weeks ago, and they were from Russia, missionaries from Russia, and they began to tell me the story, and they told me a story about a little old lady. This little old lady, she got saved in Russia. She got saved, and she said, "I'm going to lead 10,000 people to the Lord before I turn 90. And you say, well, that sounds like you, but she was 80 then when she got saved. And she said, I'm going to lead 10,000 people to the Lord before I turn 90. And now she's 88 and she's led 9,700 and some people to the Lord. Now you say, well, yeah, but how could she keep track? She's got journals, and when she gets you saved, she makes you write your name and the date in it when you got saved. She's got journals with over 9,700 names in them right now. I kind of think she's going to make it. What do you think? How many agree with me and think that when some of the big boys get to heaven, God's going to say, scoot over, here comes my little mama from Russia. Come on up here. I got a crown for you. You see, if we're not careful, we think you got it's got the big things, it's the dramatic things, it's you got to be dynamic, and you got to, you know, no man, it's the little things that the Holy Spirit shows you to do, and you do it, that makes all the big things happen. I like what Rick Warner said. He said, the size of the task is irrelevant. He said, the only issue is, does it need to be done? Jesus said in Luke 16, he said, if you are faithful in the little things, you'll be faithful in the large ones. But if you're dishonest with the little things, you won't be honest with the greater responsibilities. Well, you know, I had somebody here a while back say, you know, Hank, I've got this big check coming in, and when this check comes in, I'm going to start tithing, I'm going to start doing this, and I didn't mean to be rude, and I tried to not be, but I said, no, you won't. They said, well, yes, I will. I said, no, ma'am, you won't. You won't, because if you're not able to give the little things, if you're not able to tithe on $100, you're not going to be able to tithe on $10,000. I'm sorry, it won't work. If you're not faithful in the little things, you're not going to, you know, you want God to use you for big things? Hey, then be faithful in the little things. Young people, if you learn anything, learn that. You want God to be big in your life and you want to do big things for Him, be faithful. Be faithful with the little things He shows you to do. And you older young people, you ought to hear that too. Because Hank's listening to that. I'm preaching to myself today. So if anybody else can get in on the message, that's fine. Matthew 23, talking about the talents, Jesus said to the one that did something with what they had, He said this, He said, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. See, Colossians 3 tells us that whatever you do, do it with all your heart. And if you're not careful, we get to thinking that it's got to be something big, but it's all the little things that God tells you to do that develop you and cause you to grow and cause you to be more for Him. It's the little thing. I remember when I was a kid, and there's so many artificial sweeteners now, most of you won't even remember this, but when I was a little kid, there wasn't any around, and I'd come up to Missouri in the summer and stay with my grandparents, and they had these little tiny white pills, and they were called saccharin. And man, you could put two or three of those in a big pitcher of tea, and it would make it sweet, and it was so neat that one day, I just put one of those little pills in my mouth, and oh my goodness, it wasn't sweet at all. It was terrible. And they had it in liquid, and you could put just, but you had to be careful. You just put a drop in your glass. Just put a drop. Especially in the iced tea. My mother used to make instant iced tea. Greg, one time Mike and I were at my mother's house. I came back, and my mother made some instant iced tea, which is bad enough by itself, but she put saccharin in it. And we took a drink of it. It was terrible. It was terrible. You see, it's not the big splashes really that make a difference. It's the little tiny drops in your life. One little drop can change your whole cup, you know that? Huh? Well, let me ask you though, those of you that are saved, look back on when you got saved. You know, maybe you had you got saved under a dramatic pastor. You heard this terrific message that moved you. Maybe you had something spectacular and big that happened when you finally made the decision. But if you'll really check, if you'll really look, if you'll really think about it, it was all the little bitty things that got you saved. It wasn't that big message. It wasn't that big dramatic thing when you came in. I mean, you wanted to stop the whole world. I got saved. I found Jesus. No, you didn't. He wasn't lost. He wasn't lost. 1974, I heard one of the best messages I ever had on February the 10th, 1974, on a Sunday night, and Pastor Mac Evans preached it. And I don't remember what the message was, but I know I ended up down at the altar. And it was powerful. And I praise God for that. But you know, when I got to looking back, I remembered running into Larry Smith in the Chevrolet place and him witnessing to me. I remembered running into Bill Cox and him witnessing to me. I remembered some of my friends, Yvonne and Beverly Gilstrap and several of them. And they'd all come over to this place where all these wild people were, and they'd gotten saved, and they'd come to my house, or they'd see me somewhere, and they were all witnessing over for, I'm talking for months and months. I got to thinking about my grandmother who had been praying for me since I was a little kid. Church of Christ grandmother, by the way. You know, God hears Church of Christ prayers too, in case anybody didn't know that. But I just had to say that to get back friends with my Church of Christ people, you know. But see, even though that was a dramatic time in my life, it was all those little bitty drops along the way that got me saved. What are you saying, Hank? I'm saying, man, don't you ever think the things that you're doing are little or insignificant. God tells you to do something. I don't care if it's a little call. I don't care if it's making a dish to take to a funeral dinner. I don't care if it's going and talking to a neighbor. Those little things, don't you ever think the things that God tells you to do and you do them are insignificant, because they're not. It's those little bitty things. Kind of like the two guys standing on the street corner, and one guy was this big, burly, I mean muscle guy, man. I mean, he'd been lifting weights and been doing, I mean, this guy was, man, I'm talking big. And there's a little bitty old, the other one's a little bitty old puny guy. And this little old puny guy walks up to this big, massive, strong guy, and he says, man, I bet you could hunt bear with a switch. The big, massive guy looked down at him and said, you know what, son? There's some little bears out there too. Don't think you have to just do something big, or that you have to be something. Nothing's insignificant. There's no small jobs in the kingdom. And everything you do, yeah, give God some praise. Everything you do for the advancement of the kingdom is big as far as God's concerned. You know, really, that's what church is all about. We're having a membership class tonight, and I talked with some that want to join, but they can't be at this class. And if that's you, go ahead and join, and then we'll get you another class sometime. But you know, that's what this is all about, joining the church. This isn't, you know, we're not getting your bank account number when you join, huh? I mean, we don't have a whole bunch of things that you have to sign to promise, and you know, we're not after pledges of your life. Around here, anything you pledge, it better be pledged to Jesus and not to anybody else. But no, what? So why should I join the church? It's when people can come together and be a part of something, so that together, in a combined effort, we can promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. In a combined effort, we can reach people, and we can bring them in, and we can let Jesus use us to put their lives back together. You see, and you can do more in numbers than you can do by yourself. Well, I don't have to go to church to be saved. No, you don't. But I'm telling you what, you can sure be a whole lot more effective if we'll get together as a group of believers. You see, because I'm just silly enough to think that we can make a difference in this area for Jesus Christ. Oh, I know all the stuff that's going on, and I know all the hate and all the mean stories that are going on, and our school district's in trouble, and our everything's in trouble. Hold it, man, hold it. We can make a difference if we'll just tell people about Jesus. See, I'm just telling you how to uncomplicate your life. Huh? Just uncomplicated. Do you want stuff to work for you? You want things to go together? I'm tell you what, just get a hold of God's heart. His heart is that nobody will perish. Huh? You see, and that's what excites me. We are becoming a group, a church. We're becoming a family that cares more about people, more about getting them in touch with Jesus, more about helping them get their life changed. We care more about that than anything else in the world. I didn't say we were. We thought we were, but now we are becoming what we thought we were. Isn't that good? Woo! Told somebody the other day, I said, I'll just be so glad when I become all I used to think I was. Val Kilmer said, I'm a prisoner of my, how do you say that? He said, I'm a prisoner of my own hypocrisy. Hey, we're becoming a group. We're becoming a family. That's what it's all about. That's why you're part of this thing, because we're a family and we care about each other. And if you hurt, I hurt. We care about each other. And I want to talk. Do you think you're maybe the most insignificant part of this church? The most insignificant one in this church? If that's you, I just want to tell you, you need to quit thinking that way. Because you're probably like the little widow woman that Jesus put everybody else aside and said, ooh, this little lady gave more than anybody else. You see, he didn't ask you to be anybody else. He just asked you to be you. And if you'll give him you, he'll make you more. If you be faithful with the little things, he'll do more with you. Huh? Do you think I deserve to be a pastor of such a great church as this? Do you think I deserve to be the pastor of you guys are the greatest people in the world? I don't care. You are. And I know I'm prejudiced, but that's the truth. You ought to have gave yourself a hand for that one, you know. But you know what? You see all these seats around here? I've probably put screws in the backs of each one of these chairs at one time or another. There was a time when I vacuumed the floors here. There was a time, I put screws in the backs of these until my fingers were bleeding. And I remember one time being down in the dungeon. That I called it the dungeon. I still do. That's down where our sound people, our TV people and everything are right now. And high down there, wherever you are. And I was down there and I was painting the floors. They wouldn't let me teach a Sunday school class. So I was painting the floors. Huh? They wouldn't let me baptize anybody, so I was painting the floors. I was the trophy hippie that got saved, and then you're the one we waved to everybody when anybody asked us if we're doing anything, but I just was painting the floors, and I'll never forget looking down at that red oil-based paint. I can still smell it just telling this story. And I remember something swelling up inside of me, and I said, God, thank you that I'm worthy to serve you here. And I remember seeing the tears falling. That you ever put water in oil-based paint? Man, I had to paint that spot I don't know how many times, man. Oh, listen. You want to be big with God? Just do the little things He shows you to do. That's what it's all about. And I have to go a minute there, and I'm almost done here. Nate, you better start doing this. Remind me. I just need to go here today because maybe you're one of those. Maybe you're saved. Maybe you're not saved. And if you aren't, then you need to do that before you leave here today. But maybe you are saved, and you're one of those that just need some stuff in your life put back together. Let me just say, no matter how impossible your situation looks in your eyes, no matter how impossible that looks in your family's eyes, the Lord has a plan for your deliverance. And He's planning, He's aiming on you ending up on top. Psalms 91:3 says, surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler. So whatever that is in your mind right now, whatever that is you're facing in your life right now, why don't you just look that fowler in the eye and say, Jesus has delivered me from your snare. Woo, Jesus, give Jesus a hand. Isn't he wonderful? Isn't he wonderful, Bill? Come on, tell him how wonderful he is. You better not be crying. Donna, she'll come back here and whoop you. Don't be crying for me. Man, this is the best thing ever happened to me. Hey, it's hard to lose your mama. Hard to lose your mama. I like what Colin Powell said. He said, it ain't as bad as you think it is. He said, it'll all look better in the morning. Oh, I don't know what you're facing, but just want you just cinch it up there and gird it up. And why don't you find somebody to go tell about Jesus? And why don't you find somebody to go tell them what Jesus did for them? Just find somebody. I tell you what, if you get your mind off the snare that the enemy's got in your life and just start thinking about God's heart and what he wants, hey, that other stuff will just, it'll just dissolve. It'll just dissolve. You see, and don't feel insignificant, because you're valuable to God. You're valuable to me, and I'm valuable to you. Oh, you see, that's what it's all about. It's all about us working together, and it's all about us coming together for a common cause, and that common cause is to share Jesus Christ with everybody we see in every way we can think, and everything that, in every way that's possible, in everything the Lord shows us to do, and in the process, he puts our life back together. See, we need each other. See, I believe, talking about our family again, our church, I believe God puts you where you need to be. You can remove yourself. God'll still love you. He'll still be big for you because you're important to him. But you can remove your stuff and you'll never be yourself, and you'll never be all that you could be. Because you see, how many know we don't like to face anything that's uncomfortable. But it's those things that are uncomfortable in our life that God uses to mold us and shape us. So you see, we come as a body, and luckily, thank God, around here we're finding out I don't have to hide my flaws from you. Glory to God, you see them every week when I stand up here. But we don't have to hide those things from each other. No, we're a family, and we help each other, and we pick each other up. We don't judge, we don't condemn, we brush each other off, we pick each other up. You see, I need you, and you need me, and you need those people around you, and they need you, no matter who you are. We come together, and with all of our little idiosyncrasies, you see, I need your flaws to help me grow. You need mine to help you grow. We need each other, and as this happens, we become a body fitly joined together. We'll have a message on that, I can tell. I can tell we need one. I can tell I need to hear one, okay? So we'll have one on that. But we come together with a common cause to see people born again, to see people come back to Daddy. He says, I don't want anybody to perish, Hank. I don't want anybody to perish. And I'm done. You're not doing that, Nate. I'm done. I'll do it to myself. I don't wear a watch either, by the way. Let me just say this as I end. I don't know a lot of stuff, okay? I mean, I don't know what all's going to happen in our country. I'm not like some of these guys that think they do, and they really don't. And so we're telling each other stuff, and we keep each other scared all the time. We keep each other in torment all the time. We keep each other worried and fearful all the time. You see, now I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't know what's going to happen to our economy in the nation and in the world. I don't know what our president's going to do. I don't know all the bad things. And listen, I mean, if you want to look at that side, there's plenty of bad stuff. And I can give you some papers and books to read that'll help you know how bad it is out there. Because I pay attention to them and I read. You see, there's a lot of things that I don't know for sure. But I'll tell you something I do know for sure. I do know that every one of us, that we're all sinners, and that we all fall short. I do know that none of us of ourselves or by ourselves could be in right standing with God. None of us are capable of that. We all have been born into sin. Because of Adam's sin, because of his sin, we all were born into this cursed world. Because of one man's sin, death came into the world. But because of another man's righteousness, God was able to get back in the earth. Now, I don't know everything, but I do know that if we all got what we deserve, we'd go to hell. But I do know this for sure, too, that Jesus came and died on the cross so that we don't have to go there. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life. And I don't know everything, but I do know that God loved me and He loved you so much that even while we were sinners, He gave Jesus for us. And I do know that if I will confess Him with my mouth and believe in my heart that God raised Him from the dead, I'll be saved. Because with my heart I believe, and with my mouth I say what I believe. I do know that whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. I know that for sure. You young people have been learning the Romans Road. In case you don't know it, that's what you just got. I do know that if you call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. Now, I don't know about everything else, but I know that for sure. And bless God, me and Jesus are tight. And my Heavenly Father made all this place. And I might have to go through some rough times, and I might have to face some difficulties, but me and Jesus are tight. And whatever happens, He's going to deliver me. He's going to show me a way. He's for me. He's not against me. He's for you, and He's not against you. So I don't know about you. I think I'm just going to get my priorities right. Instead of worrying about all this other stuff, I'm going to start worrying about, are you saved? Do you have any family members that aren't saved? Do you have any friends on the job that aren't saved? Do you have any neighbors that aren't saved? Come on, let's get them. I'll help you. Let's get them. Whatever it takes, let's get them. Because nothing else compares to that. Because I know that anybody that will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And in that same chapter, he says, anybody that's drawn, how can you call on somebody that you don't believe in? And he says, well, how can you believe if you haven't heard? And he says, well, how can you hear unless somebody tells you? How can somebody tell you unless they be sent? And Jesus, as he left, he said, I send you into the world to tell everybody about me. Isn't that good? Some of you don't act like that's as good. That's good. Isn't that good? See, you might not have a Bible college degree. You might not know all the Bible. That's probably good because you probably will get more done for God than some of the scholars are. But you can do something. How many here are saved? How many can share what happened to you with somebody? Yeah. Huh? How many think it'd be a good idea to get our coffee hot? Huh? Ah. So I ask you, is your coffee hot? He sent us all. Hey, I just want to encourage you, and I just want to encourage you because everybody here, the fact that you're here today, the fact that you're here, you're doing something. Whether you realize it or not, you've already helped somebody that was fighting a battle just when they looked and saw that you were here. And there's no little jobs in the kingdom. So I wonder what this place is going to be when all of us... Oh, y'all want to sing, okay? We're going to do that, okay. I wonder what this place is going to be. I wonder what this place is going to be when all of us, me included, start listening to all the little things God tells us and do them. Huh? I wonder what's going to happen. We're going to see it because I'm going to try. Are you? I made this commitment a while back, and I've never missed God so much in my life since I made that commitment. Huh? Since I told him, I want to hear every little thing you say, God. Man, I get to the end of the day, I go, oh, God, I missed that one. Hey, I can't do nothing about that, but I can do something about now. I can do something about today. Huh? Wonder what this place is going to be like when we all just start listening to God. Aren't you glad we don't all have to do the same thing? Huh? See, I'm telling you, I'm empowering you today in the name of Jesus Christ to just be you. I'm empowering you to just be you. Because you, as little as you feel, as insignificant as you feel, as unworthy as you feel, as guilty, as worthless, whatever the word that fits you, one little drop of the Holy Spirit in your life changes everything. Whew. God's for us, who can be against us? Somebody said, well, you're not much. I said, I know I'm not much, but boy, my Jesus is. Woo! And greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Hey, I love you. I thank you. Why don't everybody stand? We're going to sing a song. That's what we're going to do, aren't we? We're going to sing a song. I don't know if there's somebody here that you don't know for sure you're saved. If that's you, come down and let us pray with you. Maybe somebody here you have been saved, but you just... your life's off track and you just want to kind of recommit and you just want to make a new commitment. If that's you, come down. Maybe you've been saved, you've never been baptized and you want to do that today. Hey, come on down. Maybe you just have something that you want somebody to pray with you about. Hey, I believe God hears our prayers, do you? Now, I believe he hears us. And I believe when we start praying for each other instead of talking about each other, oh, I just think some good things are happening. So if you need to come for anything, come. We'll sing a verse here. Can you come just as you are? If you need to, come. This is your time. We'd be happy to pray with you about anything. Okay, everybody here saved? How many saved? Guess everybody here saved? So I guess that part wasn't for you. But maybe it was for those of you that are watching this on TV. I just want to speak to you. If you've never asked Jesus into your heart, that's why you paid it. That's why you turned this message on today. Because God loves you. Maybe you have asked him into your heart, but you just kind of drifted. God's not mad at you. He says, just come on back. Just come on back. And if that's you today and you're watching this and somebody's watching me, you were even thinking about suicide, I'm telling you what, don't listen to that enemy anymore. God loves you. You're important to him. And And he's got some big things for you. So why don't, right now, why don't you give him your life? Right now, if you've never asked him, you just say, Jesus, come into my heart. I want to be saved. I give you my life. I give it to you. And if you have been and you just have drifted, you just say, I'm coming back home, Father. I'm coming back home and I know you love me. And I want to live for you. But I need your help. If that's your prayer and you pray that and mean it, God will show up and something big has already begun to happen in your heart. And let me just say this. If you don't go to church anywhere, you need to go to church. You need to be part of a church. And I want to invite you to come down and be part of Central. Because we'll love you. We'll help you. We'll help you get going, whatever you need. And even if you don't like me, I'll help you find a church, okay? But it's important. It's important that you don't let the devil separate you anymore. God's good. And he loves you. If you prayed that prayer, there's a number at the bottom of your screen. Call us and tell us. We'd like to pray with you. Everybody say, praise the Lord. How many think it'd be a good idea if we heated up our coffee? Hey, I love y'all.